Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We're holding in the middle of the sugya bar. Yesterday we dealt with a lot of the, I wouldn't say we dealt with, but we raised a lot of the fundamental questions about what exactly is the Torah being mechayev this bar. Much earlier we questioned, we had a machlokas actually among the Amoraim as to whether a bar is something that you own, or is something that you were mafkir, or something that fell, then you were mafkir, all of those questions we raised earlier. Related questions, such as whether the act of creating the bor is that which the Torah is mechayev you on, and therefore you're chayev in a bor b'shut harabim, or whether it's the ownership of a bor to which you're mekarif people and allow them to fall into, in which case it would have to be a bor that was b'shuto that you would be chayev on. That machlokas we spoke about yesterday, we actually had a machlokas on Meroyim as to what the shittas of the Tanoim are between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, as to whether the Torah definitely was machayev you in a bar that you make Rishat Ravim, but there's a machloket whether it was machayev you for opening your Rishut that has a bar into the Rishat Ravim so that people can now come to it, or whether the opposite would be true, that everybody agrees that a bar in your own Rishut that you bring people to, that over there, since it's your bor, you're chayev for, and the question would only be whether you would be chayev for something that you couldn't have ownership on, which is a bor b'shut harabim. And we get into a further issue, which is, and again relates to this question, and when we get through this, you're going to see how all of these complex questions interrelate. If l'maisa, we view a bor as being something that causes damage, then the question is, what element of that damage would you be chayev on? And this is a very, very subtle point. We know that if somebody leaves an actual obstacle in the Rishut HaRabim, and somebody stumbles over that obstacle, hits his head, then he's chayev, even though he hit his head against the ground. There doesn't seem to be any question about that. And yet over here we have a tremendous machlokas as to whether the bor that the Torah is mechayev you for, is it mechayev you for the fact that you hit your head at the bottom of the bor? When I say you, of course, it's a shor v'lo adam, but we're talking about now, I mean, that's damage. We could also have damage. Or are we talking about the death that accrues to the animal or the damage that accrues to the animal because of the hevel, which is gases at the bottom of the bor, changed air pressure because of the shape of the bor, however we understand. Now, if you're going to tell me that you're not chayev on the chabata of a bor, which as Rav says, you're only chayev on the hevel of the bor, why in the world would you be chayev for putting something in the middle of the road where somebody falls over and hits his head on? Because then again, it would be karkol mizikato. Now this conundrum, the Ramban deals with, Ravid deals with, the Ra'ad deals with, all of the Rishonim talk about this problem. There's different approaches to understanding what's happening here. The Ramban's approach is that the whole idea of a bor is a tremendous chiddush in the Torah, because when you take something away and you're leaving a place for someone to get hurt on, under normal circumstances, we would have viewed that as a grama. Whether it's hevel or whether it's chavata, I mean, basically you've allowed the gases to gather at the bottom of the hole, or you've allowed a hole to be there for somebody to fall into and hit his head against the bottom. So now, when the Torah comes along and tells you, even on that, you're chayev for a hole in the ground, the question is, how much of a grama? The ground, no change is made in at all. The karka olam is there. The hevel, on the other hand, gathers. That's true, both are grama. But Rav's analysis of the situation is that on something that you did absolutely nothing to change, I mean, that's the ultimate grama. You remove the ground, and now somebody hits the ground that's under it. I mean, that is like the absolute grama. So there's nothing in your actions that actually caused this hole to be damaging. Even if you want to say that the Torah is b'chayev view on the hole, it's got to be something that is in the hole, not something that the hole allows. So therefore, he says, it only makes sense, if we understand that the nezek of bor is hevel, not chevet. On the other hand, as the Ramban points out, once you create an obstacle, that's not the same as a groma. You've actually done something there that somebody is going to get hurt on directly. Not you've removed the space which allows him to fall. You make him fall. You hit his foot, and now he falls over there. Enochinami, Rav also agrees that the chevet is chayav, because there we can't say, what did I do? I removed the dirt? That's not true. You tripped the guy. You tripped the guy. Now, that's the same thing as a shor that knocks a guy into a bar. We're over there. That's an active hezek. And on that, Rav is also moda that there's a chiyav of chavata. Now, the other question that we have to analyze is, we said that according to Rav, there would be a nafkamina about whether you fall derech nefila, and that in fact was his drasha. In the pasuk, derech nefila means that your nose is down. When I say you, I'm referring to the shor the whole time. The shor's nose is down, therefore more likely to breathe poison gases, and it's going to be damaged or killed in the bor. I mean, ask many of the Rishonim, but I mean, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is the one that's most often quoted. I mean, then why don't we look at every case at what type of nezik happened? I mean, if a shor breaks its neck, it's irrelevant whether it was breathing gases. I mean, it's got a broken neck. Obviously, the neck didn't break because of the differences in the air pressure and the gas that it's breathing. So it doesn't really make sense. Why are we mechalik derech nefila, but we're not mechalik as for analyzing the actual events? Let's look at each event and see it separately. Now he says a tremendous chiddush, which it's interesting that Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch explains in the parsha itself as part of the pshat in the pasuk. And he says like this: obviously, Rav is not saying that. I'm going to show you today a very serious problem with this pshat in the Gemara that's coming up. But this is the Rabbeinu Peretz's pshat. It's expanded on by many of the Achronim. What Rav is saying is that the Rabbeinu Peretz's lashon is that it's true that it's clear that the chavata is what caused the shor to have a broken neck. There's no question about that. But what Rav is saying is that you need to be a participant in that chavata directly. And therefore, the assumption is that once a bor has in it hevel, then that hevel is an active participation. If it hadn't been for that hevel, then we assume that the shor indeed would have been able to support itself, prevented its neck from breaking against the bottom, and there, that there would be a 100% no involvement if it hadn't been for the hevel, and therefore you wouldn't be chayav. Once there's hevel, you are there, and therefore you're a participant. Rav Hirsch compares it actually to the Enei Yochol Ishtalem Mizeh, Mishtalem Mizeh. That's already not so poshut. But as the Rabbeinu Peretz explains it, it's part of the actual definition of the mazik of bor. Obviously, it's a chiddush akra. There's no question about it. I mean, the problem with this we're going to see later on. But these were the issues that we raised yesterday and had a lot of serious machlokas in between the Rishonim. When we talk about being mafkir Rishus, what exactly do we mean? Would you be chayav for a bor that was right up against the Rishut HaRabim, even though you dug the bor in your Rishus? Is that part of the machloket? How do we understand the Gemara about the special dinim for contractors? How much space is necessary? What type of mechitza? These are all issues, again, that were discussed in the Gemara.
The active participant isn't just pushing in.
Correct. The creation, where your whole is a participant. Active in the sense of that it's the whole, not just the absence of the earth. That's the difference. Okay, so today, let's continue. Again, the sugya becomes more and more intricate, more and more involved. It's the type of sugya which you really can't understand until you see the whole thing and then review a couple of times to see how everything is interrelating with everything else. We got up to yesterday Nun Amud Beis. First, a word from our sponsor while everybody's taking a talking break. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shakol Nieh B'Dvaro. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome home. All right, so we got up to, yesterday we went to the Chidushim, in the shape of the bor. Chidushim both Ali B'da Rav and Ali B'da Shmuel, because remember, Shmuel only added Chavata, but he agrees that Havalah is definitely a case for you to be chayavan. And so Memela, we talk about various cases in the Mishnah in which the shape of the bor, the exchanges of the gases that are related to the shape, each one of which is a bigger fee than before, we finally get to the last case in the Mishnah, which was the case of Ne'itzim, which is the way we use today, Na'atz, Lin'atz, would be something that you plug into a wall. It's a wedge. A Na'itz is a wedge, so that you have a small bottom, and it gets wider as it gets to the top, even there where you have the most exchange of good gas with the Hevel on the bottom. Nonetheless, it's enough for Hevel. That was the final Kiddush of the Mishnah, and that is where we got up to yesterday, the two dots, which is three lines down from the middle-sized lines. So we're up to Tzna. Tzna, hayu pechutim mi'asarat tfachim, v'nafal to'tocho shor o chamor umeid, patur. If the bor is less than 10 tfachim, and a shor and a chamor falls and dies, so then you're patur. But im huzak bo chayav. Now, by the way, there are Rishonim who speak out that the death, if we can see the impact that was now ultimately killed the thing. I mean, that doesn't mean we're going to say that you're not chayav on the nezek element of the death. We just won't be. In other words, we'd say, what would this animal be worth with a broken arm? The fact that it died afterwards, that already, that's mazalak agarim. We're not going to say it's part of the bar. But certainly we're going to isolate the nezek component, be mechayev you for that. Others say the entire event is not an event that could be attributed to the bor. Fine. But you're certainly not chayev for the mita. That's your patra. On the other hand, imuzakbo, you would be chayev. Nafalatocho, shor v'chamor, umet, patur. Why? I mean, I assume that the difference between a 9-tvachim bor and a 10-tvachim bor is, as any normal human being would assume, the difference in the impact. When it's higher, I mean, there's an impact. I mean, certainly the question of Hevel, I mean, either there is Hevel or there's not Hevel. So in other words, either this thing is deep enough to gather gas that can damage you or not. I mean, it's difficult to believe you're going to attribute the difference of Mitah and the Zikin to a lesser, greater amount of Hevel. I mean, that's weird. Chavatas, the thing that immediately strikes you, is being able to make that kind of distinction. So my time, Alav Mishum Dalet Be Chavata, is it not a function of Chavata, this difference? And even if you would say, Rashi learns, the question is, even if there's Hevel in this bor, you're Chayev only for Nezek. Why are you Chayev only for Nezek? If Shmuel is also Moda, that you're Chayev for Hevel. So then, why would you be not Chayev for Mita? Now, again, if we learn like the Rabbeinu Peretz, and the issue over here of Hevel is the participation in the damage of the bor, then this question requires a lot of refinement. Because, again, it's not that Rav was saying there's no difference between 9 and 10 in the fall value. The Chevet is very important, obviously. All we're saying is there needs to be participation in the Chevet. So what are you asking me? The Kasha makes no sense according to the Rabbeinu Peretz. Because I can say there's Hevel there, and indeed you're a participator, but there's not enough Chavata to kill. He's saying that there's always a Chavata element. So there's a Chavata element, so obviously there's less of a Chavata element in 9 than in 10. If it falls only 1 foot, it's a heck of a lot different than it falls 10 feet, isn't it? So what's the Gemara's Kasha? The implication here is that according to Rav, Chavata is not an element.
If he would have been lowered down with a rope...
Into 10.
He
would have died.
He wouldn't have died from the Hevel.
That's the question, maybe. He would have died from the Hevel, we're learning now. Except that if he does die from the fall, we view the Hevel as being a contributing element. Right? So it's what we have to say over here is that the Gemara's Kasha is, this is the way Rashi is understanding the Kasha, is that we don't believe that there's no Hevel in a bar of Tish as opposed to a bar Asara. If there's no Hevel, then you wouldn't be chayav. There must be if there is Hevel. But if there is Hevel, then why can't it die? That's the Kasha. We're not saying that we can't understand why there isn't the difference between 9 and 10 in terms of the Chavata. But if you're saying that Hevel can kill, so that Hevel of 9 can kill, what's the nafkamina? Answers the Gemara, no, there is Hevel. Havalah there is. But the problem is, there's no Havalah l'mita. There is a difference in the concentration of the gases in 9 and 10. Just so you're going to say, Bobby, there's also a Chavata of 9. Fine. But there's a difference of a Chavata of 9 and 10. There's a difference of gas in 9 and 10. Why not? So, Ein Havalah l'mita, v'yesh Havalah l'nezikin. Asks the Gemara from a case of Trefot. Because clearly the fall, the impact of a thing, if we're now saying that there's a difference between 9 and 10. So then that should mean that when it comes to the Dinim of Trefus, where there's a halach of Nefula, an animal that falls, we ought to also find a difference between 9 and 10. Now there was a shor that fell into an Arita Dedaloi. It fell into a watering ditch. Watering ditches are not 10 tefachim deep usually, 6 tefachim. And the owner of the shor shechted it because he was afraid that it might die and then he'd lose all his money. So he went ahead and he shechted the shor. Rav Nachman paskened that the shor was treif. He couldn't eat the meat. Omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, you know, this idiot, because Ishaku married Aitura Kabbat Kabbat. I mean, what was his problem? His problem was he didn't want to pay for the gas to drive to the nearest Beit HaMidrash, right? So it would have cost him, let's say, half a tank of gas to get to the nearest Beit HaMidrash, okay? So he would have asked, Vazo Tana Beit HaMidrash. They would have taught him in the Beit HaMidrash, if you have a shore that falls, Im Sha'ata Me'et La'et Kshira, if it would have now waited for 24 hours and lived, then you could have shechted it. That's all he needed to do. Lo Afsidei Laturi wouldn't have lost his shore, which was worth 15 loads of gas, to shove a kamikabit. So because this guy's making false, I mean, yeah, okay, big deal. You won't ask your shayla. It'll work out somehow. Could have saved himself the tarfus of the shore. But meanwhile, we see that apparently, Amakasav Reb Nachman, yesh chavata bepachot mi'asara. If Reb Nachman holds that the shore is a treifa, then that means that Reb Nachman obviously holds that even though it falls less than 10 tefachim, it could be killed. Otherwise, why is it treif? So in other words, there's enough damage, enough internal damage, for it to be called an afula, and ultimately turn out to have suffered a mortal fall. Eitvei Rava le Reb Nachman to Rava es Reb Nachman, doesn't it say, ayu pchutim mi'asarat tefachim, v'nafala tocho shor hachamor omeid patur? Now, why are you patur if a shor falls into a bor? That's only 9 tefachim, and over here it was less than even that. You're potter, isn't that because my time alam mishum delet bechavata? Isn't that because it's not a large enough impact to kill the shor? So if that's the case, why are you afraid that it's a nefula? A nefula should also be defined as a minimum of 10 tefachim. By the way, a nefula is one of the trefot. A nefula is not a suffix. Maybe it has damage, internal damage. It acts as a suffix because you can establish that it wasn't. But a shor that falls is treif. Okay? There's ways to be able to get out of that treifot if now it turns out that it wasn't because it lived, so it's not a problem. But over here, you're saying, so that would mean that we'd have to establish that it fell in a way that would kill it.
How would you just intend?
Yeah, anything less. Says the Gemara, says Reb Nachman, maybe not. Maybe it's Mishum Delet Behavala. Maybe it does have enough Chavata, even in less. Maybe what Reb Nachman is saying is that Loch is like Rav, you're not Chayav on the Chavata. Which, by the way, you will remember. I forgot to mention this earlier. The Gemara said that if you make a Gova, that would be the Nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel. Remember that even that's not so poshut, because if you make a gova, why isn't that the equivalent of putting down something in the middle of Shutz HaRabim where you actively would damage? I mean, so what exactly is the reason that the gova, we would say only the chavata, but there's no havalah, why wouldn't you be chayav over there on the chavata itself? That's all something to take into consideration. But over here, said Reb Nachman, you're talking about something that's a ditch. Fell into a ditch. There was enough to make it a nefula. Who says you need 10 for nefula? You need 10 for havala to kill. But we're not talking about a chiev over here. We're talking about treifot. Okay, it's a completely different issue. Says the Gemara, so Yachi, if that's the case, then why, who's a gebo chayav? If you're saying there's no hevel, why are you chayav on damage? Halet be havala. Omalei, I'm not saying there's no hevel. I'm saying ein hevel lemitav, yesh hevel lezakin, as we just established. Es the Gemara, eitvei. Beit Askila Yagavah Shtei Komot. When we have a chiyav of killing someone in Beit Din with skila, so he needs to be pushed off of the height. Now, the gova over there was 2 stories high. V'tani Allah, the 2 stories, means V'koma Shalom, meaning that he is standing above his own height, 2 stories. That's what it means. Sarekat Shalosh, it means all in all we're talking about a fall from 3 stories. You're telling me that you could kill someone, even, as Reb Nachman is saying, the shor falls only 6 tefachim, it could also die. So why do we need lamale kulei har? No. So according to you, make it 10, you're agreeing that 10 tefachim is enough, so make it 10 tefachim, why do we need 3 stories? You can ask the same question on yourself. I mean, you're not addressing the issue. Clearly, Elikar Reb Nachman, this is going, I'll leave another mimer of Reb Nachman. The Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, since the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, The way to express your love is to kill him in a nice way. So, Baror lo mita yafa. If you got to kill the guy, at least kill him the way you'd like to be killed. So, ask the Gemara, Iachi nagba tve. Why don't we make it 20 stories high? No, because then mishum deminval. Then because you're going to, that's not a mita yafa. Because his body will be crushed and broken, and that's not exactly a nice way to die, is it? So, Mamela, you have to balance the efficiency of the killing mechanism with the results. Eitve. Ki yipola nofel mimeno. This is an interesting halach. The Torah says you're b'chuyev to make a ma'akeh. And it says if you build ki tivne bayit chadash, v'yasita ma'aseh legagecha. I'm quoting the pasuk, it's going to be darish this in the answer. V'lo tasim damim beveitecha, ki yipola nofel mimenu. What's this mimenu? From your house, but not into your house. V'lo letocho. So in other words, if you are building a house that is lower than the Rishut HaRabim, so Kate said, I thought Rishut HaRabim govoa mimenu asara tvachim. And therefore, people can fall. V'nafal mitocho letocho. It doesn't mean he fell. In other words, the someone who would fall now from the Rishut HaRabim into your house. They're your partner for making the makkah. That's not your business. That's the business of the Rishut HaRabim. This is your house. Masha'in Kain, if your house is higher than the Rishut HaRabim, and the Rishut HaRabim is amuka mimenu asarat vachim, v'nafa letocho, mitocho letocha, somebody would fall off of your house, off of the roof, into the Rishut HaRabim, then you would be chayav. Now how do you get 10 tvachim? If you're telling me, according to Reb Nachman, that there's such a thing as a chavata b'pachot mi'asara, you should have to make a ma'akeh, even if it's 1 foot high. Somebody will fall off and hurt themselves, or kill themselves. So what's the difference how high it is? Where do you come up with the idea of asarat vachim? Unless we are right in saying that asarat vachim fall is the measurement of a fatal fall. So here we seem to have a very clear right. Reb Nachman's wrong. Because Reb Nachman said, well, in a fulaz, even if it's not 10 tvachim. And over here it says, beferish that it is 10 tvachim. What other source would there have been to the idea that a ma'akeh has only 10 tvachim? It's a brilliant question. What Reb Nachman will have to answer you is a rather strange answer. That since the Torah was mechayev you only on a house, that the din of the ma'akeh is a function of the definition of a house. And a house, as we saw in Masechet Sukkah, needs to have 10 tvachim. So that the problem isn't whether somebody could fall off of it or not. The problem is it's not a house. And therefore, since it's not a house, if it's pachot mi'asara, lav bayitu. Since it's not a bayit, it's not included in the dinim of living in a house that you have to protect people from. Nobody lives in this house.
See, even if it's an extension of the house, it was more than 10. Yeah. But it's lower there, you don't have to
go in
that section.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. Let's finish this sugya first. Iachi, hashta davi davi me'avroi asa. Now, wait a second. So now, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. If the roof is now 10 tefachim higher than the Rishut HaRabim, that means that the inside of the house is not 10 tefachim, because you have to subtract the thickness of the roofing and then of the ceiling inside. I mean, so it's clearly not 10 tefachim high inside, but the measurement of a home is 10 tefachim on the inside, not on the outside. So why, again, we're running around in circles here. So dalbine tikra umaziva, take off the roofing and the ceiling. So now you've got migavoi lo avi asara. You've got an inside of a home that's less than 10 tefachim high, and that's not a house. Oh, Malay, well, it's talking about over here the guy had a sunken living room. You're going to chak migavoi. Well, says the Gemara, once you're sinking the living room, you could sink it another couple of feet, no? And then you should be chayav on the market, even if it's 5 tefachim outside, because you got a 5 tefachim sunken living room. I mean, now the whole thing is completely arbitrary. What are we doing? We're selecting how far you sunk the living room. So let's say it's not 10 tefachim on the outside. So now it could be even a more sunken living room. Could be 10 tefachim inside because you made a more sunken. You're going to chokpa tve. You made a deeper living room. What's the problem? You're right. You're right. Of course, 10 clearly is a question of chavatan not killing. Where did Reb Nachman come up with the idea that the shore was a nefula, despite the fact that it fell into an amat hamayim, which is only 6 tefachim deep? Because Reb Nachman holds like this. The measurement of nefula is the damaged internal organ. The damaged internal organs has to be measured from the height at which the internal organs fell, not the height at which the shore's foot fell. So from the body of the shore, till the ground is four tefachim. The additional fall, which hits now the bottom of the water channel, is now another six. Six and four is ten. Vis-a-vis those organs, there was a fall of ten tefachim, which makes it a nefulah. And therefore, six tefachim indeed is enough. So, mikreitsa deturali ara kabehave, arba'a. So, from the bottom of the shore's stomach to the ground, you have four tefachim. Arita de daloi kamehave, what's a typical watering channel? Six tefachim. Together, that's asara. So, ishtaka, the kikom michbet, be asara de hudiki machbet. The meaning over here, therefore, is that the chavata that we're referring to of nefula is a din of ten tefachim here. So I don't get it. So then every bor is like that. So why do we need a bor of ten tefachim? So a bor of six tefachim causes a fall of ten tefachim. So then you could say the same thing about a bor. So why does the Mishnah say, Ma bor shikadei la'abit asarat tefachim, af kol sheyesh bo kadei la'abit asarat tefachim? I mean, even shitat tefachim is sufficient. You're right, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara. The Mishnah is referring to the igander labor. Mishnah is referring to a case where the shor is basically sitting down, munching. So it lowers itself to munch. Munching at the edge of the bor, rolls into the bor, which means that it now did not fall ten tefachim. But ain't a finami, if there was a way to suddenly have the shor walk and pull into the bor, so then maybe the bor would be maimis even with six tefachim, because the total fall would be, to make it a nefula, would be asara tefachim.
Is there a difference in the measurement of the pregnant animal, given the size?
Whatever the case is, I mean, we have to, obviously, according to this, we'd have to analyze the case. Did it fall 10 tefachim, or did it not fall 10 tefachim? Rav Nachman, we're just saying, in this case, there's a chashash of nefula. Bor, shal shnei shutafim. You have two people who own a bor. First guy walks by after using it now. Avar alav rishon v'lo kisahu. So he's leaving it for the second guy. Second guy uses it, and he doesn't cover it. V'lo kisahu. Hasheni chaya. The first one isn't here. We'll see in the Gemara it's talking about. First guy had left it for the second guy and assumed that he would take care of it. So then the second one is mechuyev for the damages because he was the one who left it open. Says the Gemara, how is there such thing as a bor shel shnei shutafim? Now, the simplest case of a bor shel shnei shutafim would be two people own a bor, private rishus, dig a bor, who doesn't matter who dug it, they own the bor. Now they're mafkir, the whole thing. By mafka the whole thing, the mafka the rishus, the mafka the bor, and now it's a bor shel shnei shutafim. Clearly, says Tosfos, this proves my contention. This was Tosfos' contention all along, which he uses to disprove Rashi. That in a case where you're mafkir, your rishus and the bor, that indeed you're potter. Because you did not do anything wrong when you dug it. The Torah was not mechayev you for being mafkir it. And we're not being mechayev you now as the owner, which we know anyway is a machlokas, whether bechlau you're chayev on that kind of bor, whether that's a shor. The mele, you see over here, that everybody would agree that if you're mafkir, you're rishus, and you're bor, so then that couldn't be the case. Now, we do know there is a simple case. The case is, if you hold your chayev in a bor, rishus, harabim, one person digs a bor of 10, and another person adds another 10, that's a bor of shnei shutafim. Because each one digs a bor that is shayach to mitah. We're going to see later on in our sugya. But Tosfos says the Gemara doesn't want to answer that that's the case, because since the bor that we've been referring to all along as a model bor is a bor of ten tefachim, to change and say, but once we're talking about shnei shutafim, it has to be more than ten tefachim, Gemara is not ready to say. So how do we get a model bor of ten tefachim, brishut harabim, which you're going to tell me has two partners? What's the case? Zaydich is fear like a Rebbe Akiva. Now wait, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that if you own the bor, and you're mafkir now, the rishus around the bor, do you see how each piece of the sugya now clarifies what was there before? As I told you, withhold judgment and withhold understanding in the sugya until we get to the end. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the answer would be simple. You own the bor. Two shutvim own a bor, which means that you're mafkir, you're rishus, but you own the bor. Now, obviously, says Tosfos, what do you got to come on to Rabbi Akiva? Even if you would all like Rabbi Yishmael, the way rabbis learn, you could easily have the same case. You were mafkir, the bor, and the rishus. Well, now the whole thing is rishut harabim. You see clearly that that's not called the bor that the Torah is mechayev you on rishut harabim. The bor that the Torah is mechayev you on rishut harabim is when you dug it, you were creating a problem for the rabbi. Not when you were mafkir, the rishus, you created a problem for the rabbi. When you're mafkir, you're rishus to create a problem for the rabbin, that's only if you hold that the din of a bor is a bor in your rishus that you weren't mafkir, the bor. So over there, you continue to be responsible for your bor, because now you allow the rabbin to be mitkarev to the edge of your bar by being mafka Yerusha. Okay, so assuming now, we're going now, I'll leave it a rabbi. Assuming now that the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is that it's Rabbi Akiva who holds that you're chayiv in a bar b'rshuto. So then it's very simple to find a case. A chotzer shel shneihem, ubar shel shneihem, v'yivkiru reshutan v'lo yivkiru boran. In that case, you're chayiv. But how about if you're like Rabbi Yishmael? That a bar b'rshuto is patur. Where's the only case that you're chayev on a bar? Rishut Rabbi, the way Rabbah understood Rabbi Yishmael, right? Zehu bar shechiva alav Torah. Okay, so where do you get a Rishut Rabbi? How can you have a bar shel shnei shutafim? In other words, the moment, this is what the Gemara is fascinated by, the moment the Mishnah uses the word partnership in something which has no ownership, you're immediately suggesting that we can't be going on leaving Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael understood the nature of Balut in the bar to be the one who creates the mazik. How are Shnei Shutafim creating the mazik and not owning the mazik? What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, well, simple case. Two guys get together and they hire a mafia contractor to dig a bar in the middle of a Shut Rabbi. So they both took out the contract, so to speak. So they're both chayiv, right? Wrong. Because ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera. Then it would be the contractor would be chayiv. So either Shavu Shliach Tarvayu, and both of them get together and sign a contract that says Zil Kari Lung, and the guy goes and Ivazo Karlu, he makes the hole. Ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera? Idikara Hai Chamisha. If one guy dug five, and the other guy dug five, then only the last guy is chayiv. Because only the last guy created the bar, which is Asara, which is now the bar that the Torah was referring to that could be Meimit. Nistalkubu Maaserishon. Now, as we know, as we're going to examine again, it's a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabban and what the din is in that case. So if you hold like Rebbe, who says that the difference between a bar chamisha and a bar Asara is expressed only where the bar causes mita. Because if it weren't a bor asara, then there would be no chiyuv at all. Therefore, it's entirely the second guy who created the bor. But when it comes to damages, since damages could have been caused by the bor chamisha, so now they're both participants in damages. Okay, according to Rebbe, it works out. It's a bor shel shutafim. Two people dug the bor. Okay, fine. Say nichal Rebbe, and it's referring to vis-a-vis nizakim. So then mashkachat la, the case in the Mishnah is two people dug the bor. But according to Rebbe, even in a case where the bor killed, and according to the Rabbanan who hold a bor of asara is a different type of bor than a bor chamisha, and becomes now a killer, and therefore only the second guy who turned it into a killer bor is it going to be now. Look at that face on that bor. So now only that guy created the killer bor. So they hold both for bita and nizakin. Only the second guy is chayav. So how do we get a case? I'll leave it to Rebbe Yishmael, the way Rabbah was learning. That we're talking about a bar b'rishut Rabbi. How would you get a case where you get two so-called owners for an unownable entity? It's lovely how it all interrelates, isn't it? You just got to keep in mind, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, you know. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kigon, Sha'akru Shnehem Chulia, Bebat Achat, Vishlum al-Asara. The case is very simple. Two guys grab hold simultaneously of that shovel, that last little piece, and they carefully lift it together and take it out of the bor. There you go. So now you have a bor of two shutafim. They both did that last piece, hand in hand. Okay, anyway, what you kept talking about Rebbe and the Rabbanan. You want to get into that a little bit, please? Tell me what that's all about. My Rebbe and my Rabbanan. Titani. Echad achofer bor tish'ah. Guy digs a bor tish'ah, and somebody else comes along. Uba acher v'shlimala asara. So then acharon chayav. Tanakhama says, only the last guy is chayav. Rebbe says, no, wait, it depends. The last guy. Achron lemita, you're right. The last guy made it a bor that can kill. But both of them made a bor lenezakim. My time in the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan say we look only at the entity that's created that can kill? I ask you, this comes to teach us, therefore, that a koreh, who digs after there was already a koreh, we only look at one koreh, kiyichre, which is the last guy. Koreh achar koreh, shesilek maaser rishon. In continuing now to dig out the depths of this bor, you have now created a new hole. And it's all about the hole. Rebbe Amar Lachav, what are you talking about, says Rebbe? Did you forget the drushes that we were derish before of kiyiftach v'kiyichre? We had all kinds. Imalapti, Chakayavala, Kriyalo, Alakat Kamava Kama. We had a number of different approaches. I mean, oh, all of a sudden, none of that happened? Rabbanan. Hey, yeah, wait a minute. Rabbanan Ami Mitzach Trichi. I mean, we need that, don't we? No, I know time in the Rabbanan, you didn't understand the Rabbanan's drasha. Rabbanan's drasha wasn't from the Chiyichre Chiyiftach. It's from the Chiyichre Ish. One guy takes a bar. Echad, Ish bar. Veloshnai. Says Rebbe, well, I need that also, remember? Ish bar, Veloshar bar. Remember how important that was? If your shor creates a bar, you're not chayiv on that bar? Rabbanan, yeah, but it says ish twice. It says ki yichre, kiftach ishbar, o ki yichre, ishbar. What do you need, tre ishbar, ktive? Rebbe says, well, that's true, but I'm not bothered by it, because once I need to be dorish, ishbo below shorbar, so I did the ktive high, katav high. But anyway, Rabbanan, all that you learned was that only one guy is chayim. But how do you know which one? Maybe it's the first guy who makes the top of the hole, which is the thing that the shor falls into. I mean, the second guy can say, well, the bottom of the hole without the top of the hole ain't going to do any damage, is it? So maybe we should be mechayev only the first guy. I mean, mimaydi lechayev batra, dabi lechayev ekama, maybe we should be mechayev the first guy. No, that's impossible. Because the context of the pasuk, say the Rabbanan, lo sakadaita, the omar krava hamet yelo. Okay, what does that mean? The one who made the mate. Ahudika avid mita. He's the one that's responsible. I thought we used that pasuk hamet yelo to teach us this important drasha. Look at Rava. Rava says, hamet yelo, the stress on lo is to tell me that if a shor of psuleya mugdashin, let's say you have a bechor balmun that falls into a bor and it dies, the din is that you're potter, even though the kohen was going to eat the shor, and now you deprive him of that. Because there's no hamet yelo. That's the point. Because a shor of hegdesh is only usable, even if it's now in the rishus of a person, it's potter or it's given to the kohen, it's only in his rishus for purposes of achila, not for giza, not for avodah, not for bichira, for dog food. So once it falls into this bor, there's no hamet yelo, because it's not worth anything for him. And therefore, it's coming to be afuki shor psula mukdashi. The Amar Rav is shor psula mukdashi shenafal abar patur shenemar amet yelo b'misha amet shalo. Say the Rabbanan, yeah, that's true. Okay, brilliant. But I don't need a pasuk. I mean, meanwhile, do we see we're talking about a bor that was meimit, and that's the one that we're talking about. Ish, which ish? The ish that created the meit yelo. I mean, I don't need a pasuk. I'm saying the context is clear from the mela. V'lav mamela shamat mina de behu David mitaskin. Okay, you're right. But meanwhile, we're talking about a bar that does mita, and only one is chayev. So who's the guy who made the bar that makes mita? The last guy. Turn around. Echad ha'chofer bar asara ba'achar v'shlim alach esrim. Think about a case where one guy digs a bar asara, another guy's mashlim it to 20. And then comes along yet a third guy. Kulam chayavi. In this case, they're all chayav. 10, 20, 30. Raminu echad hakofer bor asra. A guy who digs a bor of 10. Ubacher v'siyed v'chiyed. Comes along a guy now who takes the bor, changes its shape by designing beautiful designer figures on the side of the bar. So originally, this bar was so wide, we'll see later on what that chart, what that ratio of width to depth is that creates heva. But if there's too much width, there's no heva. Comes along this guy, who is a beautiful designer, and he plops on these materials to make it look pretty. In doing so, creating a bar that has heva, because he's now got a different ratio of width to depth, right? Comes along he, and he makes it into a bor shetzir v'kiyeh, only the acharon is chayev. Now, shall we say that the part that said that you're chayev is going aliba to Rebbe? Because Rebbe said before, if one guy digs 9 and the other guy digs 1, so the halacha is that there's still a shutaf in Ezekiel. So over here, they're all shutafim in mita. Because you said 10, 20, 30, they're all shutafim. Whereas the last piece that says only the achron is chayav, that's going aliba de rabbanan. Says Erzvid, no, absolutely not. Both are going aliba de rabbanan. The rabbanan only said the achron is chayav, where you create a new type of a bor. That was the idea. So akad lo kamer rabbanan achron chayav, elayechad lo avat kama shiur mita. The first guy had only made a bor that couldn't kill. Comes along the next guy, and he makes a bar that can kill. The creator of the killer bar, the killer application, the killer Richie. That guy created something brand new. So there they said that guy is chayav. But first guy made a 10 bar, second guy made a 20 bar, third guy made a 30 bar. They're all involved in a shiur mita. Over there, feel a rabbanim out of the kulad chayavim. It's not that the rabbanim say you can never have shutafim in a bar. They're just giving you this difference between types of borot. Therefore, the whole thing works out perfectly well. Well, wait a minute. See it, Vikiate. The guy who now added the designs. I mean, didn't the first guy also make a bar that was a shiur mita? And nonetheless, the achron chayav? No. There it's talking about that initially the bar didn't have hevel mita because it was wider than it was deep. Comes he and now adds, by building the edges around, he adds hevel. So he creates the hevel mita. That's the equivalent of a 9 and 10, which are libet rabbanan, only the last guy is chayav. Or there's another approach where Ikari, I'm rather say what Reb Zvit said, is that the whole thing is going to leave it a Rebbe. So where it says everybody's chayav because you have shutafim, lemita, that's fine. That's Rebbe Shita, Shapir. But why in the world would Rebbe say that only the achron is chayav? Ah, that's talking about shelo hayabo hevel at all. Lo lemita velo lenizakin. Where you've got too much of a width, then there's no chayav of hevel at all. So according to Rav, who holds, you're only chayav on havalo, and not on chavato. So now we come along to say that that would mean, according to Rebbe, you now created a bor, both lemita and lenizakin. Therefore, we have a chiddush that Rebbe also holds, of the idea of the Rabbanan, that it's the person who turns the bor into a chiyav bor. He's just extending that idea. A chiyav bor for mita, a chiyav bor nizakin. In this case, you made the whole bar. So therefore, Baruch Arvo Sifo Hevel, Bein Lemita, Bein Lenizakin. Says Rava, well, you have an interesting case that would be similar. Let's say you take a stone and you build up the top edge of a bar. We've been talking about digging down. How about if you dig up? So what you did is you add height to the bar by building an edge around the top of the bar. So now you're digging up. And Hishlimala Asara. Says Rava, I think that's exactly the same machloket. So banu machloket l'Rebbe v'Rabbanan, right? In other words, now you've turned it into a bor for mita. If it damages, Rebbe holds your both chayim. If it kills, only the second chayim. The Rabbanan say always only the second is chayim. Says the Gemara, well, I understand. Obviously, what's the difference if it's going up or going down? Pshita, nah, it's not pshita. Because you see, mata table mata. When you're digging down, then that means you were the one. Now, notice how subtle this issue is. If the idea is that the bar's hevel is what killed, especially if we say that it's the hevel and only the hevel that makes you the active participant in the bar, whereas without that, you're only making a bar possible, so to speak, because the chavot, the land was always there. So then I might have thought that when you're digging down, the depth is what allows the carbon monoxide, the heavier carbon monoxide, to gather. So there you are actively participating in the gathering of poisonous gases. And that's why we're b'chayav of you. But when you dig up, I mean, it's a little bit strange because the area that you dug, so to speak, by adding material, is not the area that's going to have anything to do with the poisonous gases. So over here, it's like one step away. Therefore, Rava says, you might have said in this case, we don't look at you as being the active one. We look at the guy who made the part where the gas is going to be. He's the guy that dug the bar, and you only made that possible. Kamash malan, that afal piken would be the same machloket of Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So ma'at tema, lamatu davaladide kakatile, avalamala, which lo avaladide kakatile malo, kamash malan. But what I want to know, says Rava, is interesting. How about in a case where you dug down, or in a case where you dug up, okay? Now, you dug down, and you say, my conscience is bothering me. I added a tefach to this bar. It looks awfully vicious now. I'll refill that extra piece. So you plug up the area that you... Say, I'm not going to fill the whole bar. Somebody else dug that. I'll fill up my plate. Or you dug up by adding an area around it. Eh, I'll take that away. So now you take it away. How do we understand the shita over here of the second guy created a new type of bar? Can you restore the bar to what it was? Or is it now your bar? Aha. So, tum tefach, you filled in a tefach. Or salik avadav, you took away the additional height. Ma, mi abridu my dovat shaklet. Do we say, look, whatever you did, you took away. Odilman istalka ma'aser rishon. Or do we say, in having added that extra piece, You created a new bar. The first guy's out of the picture. Now the whole bar is your bar. This one is beyond me, because this touches the really most primal issue about how it is that the Torah is being mechaya bar. We're getting closer and closer to the irresolvable points over here. All right, I guess I'll leave you at this point, since I seem to be... unless you protest mightily. I mean, if everybody protests, we can continue. Woo!
Pick it up in 2 weeks.
No! A2!
Brute.
Nusia Tova. No, that's not Hevel, that's Chabatah. The other Teretz of Nachman is that he holds a Rav.
So you're talking not in Rav,
and that's what you're interested in. Are you Pchutim Yasrat Vachim and Afala Tocho Shorach Amarumeit Patur Vimuzak Bukhayat? Afala Tocho Shorach Amarumeit Patur. Why? Love me shum delet pe chavata? No, shum delet pe havala? So then, imuzak o chayav? I thought you said let pe havala. No, no. I'm not saying let pe havala at all. I'm saying, ein havala lemita, but yesh havala lenizakin. Ahu tura didafala rita didaloi. Shachte more, and then tarfe Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman, if this guy would have managed to put out a buck for some gas, yishoka more dai tura, kava de kamcha, vazo, tarabe medrosha. Im shata meit leik shira, lo avsede latura, the shavakama kabe. Anyway, clearly, amakasav Reb Nachman, yesh chavata bepachot miasara, etve rovel Reb Nachman, hayup chuti miasrat fachim, venafala toho shora chamor meit patur, my time ala mishum delet pe chavata, no, shum delet pe avala, yachi, huzak po chaya, valet pe avala, amale, but yesh hevel in ezakin edve. Beta skilai agavosh te komo evatani alava koma shelo harekan shalosh isa gadaitach yesh chavata bepachot mi asara lavel lekuleyai. I don't understand what you're asking. Will a time there? Navid asara. Ella clearly anyway. It's Reb Nachman. Yom Reb Nachman. Omer Rabba Baravua. Omer Akrovi Ahavtol Reacha Kamocha Bror Lo Mita Yafa. Yachin nigbat ve mishum de minva etve ki pol anofel mimenu velo letocho ketsa aitar shud rabim gavah mimenu asrat vachim en afal mitocho letocho, meaning and you would fall patur from making a market amukam mimenu asrat vachim en afal mitocho letocha chaya visak dat yesh chavata bepachot biatzara. Where do you come up with the shir of atzara? Lama leatzara? Amalei shiny bayit the kol pachot biasara is not called a bayit. So then yochi ashtanami. If you're telling me the outside measurements is asara, so then you have to be dalmei tikro maziva. Then migavoy lo avi asara. Amalei he's got a sunken rig, the living room. Chak migavoy. So yochi kilo avi nami miavrei asara. Veshkachat lo davi migavoy asara. You're going to chak by even more. Elaino taimin Reb Nachman. Sover mikreisa the turli ara kamehavi arba'a. Arita daloi kame avin shita. So together it's asara. Ishtakach teki kab machbet mi asara de kab michbet. Elamatiti diktani ma boshe gdeli min asara tvachim. Av koshi ish bukdelamit asara tvachim. Why not just say b'shita nami sagya? You're right. The Mishnah is talking about even in a case where it was igander labor. Borsha shtei shutafim. Aval avarishoni uses it veloki so, leaving it for the sheni. So you can say it's talking about a case with the chutz of shneihem, and the bor was owned by two people. Obviously, if kirushalov kirubor, so you have a shuta. But he's viral at bor brishuto patur. How do you get a case that chayav lo brishuto rabin? Either and he goes in and kari lo ain't shliach l'dvaraver. V'idakara hay chamisha v'hay chamisha. Then nistakul ma'aser rishon. Say nichelo Rebbe, and we're talking about the nezikin. Fine, you can have a case. But even according to Rebbe for mita, and according to Rabbanan, bein lemita bein lenezikin. What's the case? Om Rebbe Yochanan k'gon shok v'shnei b'chulya
Rabat achat vishlimola sarah. My Rebbe, my Rabbanu. The time. Echad akod roborti shabar achat vishlimola sarah. Acharon kaya. Rebbe omer? No. Acharon lemita. But when it comes to the zikin achar shnehem. My time, Rabbanu. Tomakok yiftach vichy yichra. Ima la pticha chayav akriya lukosh. Okay? Therefore, it's coming to teach you that a koreh, achar koreh, there's only the last koreh. She silak ba silek ba serishot. The Rebbe Amar Lecha, what do you mean? Hanech mitzach tzrichi, kiri amrino. Rabbanan nami mitzach tzrichi. No, the diak of the Rabbanan, type of the Rabbanan Amar Kra, ki echra ish bor, and ish is echad velo shnayim. Rebbe, I need that also, ki echra ish bor velo shor bor. Rabbanan tre ish bor ktive. The Rebbe, I didn't katav, I katav dami ha. But anyway, according to Rabbanan, how do you know which one? Mi maide lechive batra, maybe lechive kama. No, no, sakadai, live across. Va meit yelo, which is how the kabin mita. But va meit yelo, I thought we need to look at a rabba. Do you have a rabba sharp sulea mugdashim? Should have fallen bor patur, should have a meit yelo, dafka bor in the case of a misha meit yelo? Amri, okay, fine, but meanwhile, I'm a mela shmatmina, that we're talking about a bor that's of a mitaskina. Turn rabba na echad achor verbarats, rabba achab ishlim ala esrim bachar, vishlim ala shalshim, kulam chayavim, v'raminu echad achor verbarats sara, ubar acher, v'siyed v'chiyed achron kaya. So do we say, ha rebi v'rabbana? Omer zvid, no, ava rabbana. Atken lo kom rabbana na achron kaya, is where the first one didn't make a shiur mita. But here the first one also made asaras. Echad avid kama shiur mita. Rabbana rabbana, you can have shutafim. The kulam chayavim. But how about the siyed v'kiyed? The ka'avat kabash yur mita v'katoni achron chayav. No. Atam shalo hayabo hevel mita. U'bachar v'osif po hevel mita. Ikedi amrom rav zvid ava rebi. Hak diktoni kulam chayavim shapir. Ha diktoni achron chayav. Kagon shalo hayabo hevel at all. Lo l'mita v'lo l'nizaki. Comes along this guy and he makes the hevel. Bein lemita, bein lezakin. So he created the whole bar. Amar Rabbi, niach even up piyah bar. Hishlima laasara. Same thing. The bottom achlok at Rabbi Rabban. Pshita. It's not pshita. Because ma'ad tebe lamata where the hevel is the day kakatele. But lamala the lava the day kakatele. Emala kabash malan. Boy Rabba. Tom tefach or sile kavana ma. Mi amrina ma'ad davat shakla. Odilman estalku ma'aserishon. Vekomele kulab reshute. Take a...